Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, the best wrestling podcast on the Steven Larson channel.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going to go with it, but that's a claim that I can stand by.
That's a solid claim that we can make and stick to, and then we just move on from there. Like, yeah. We try to get a little bit better. Like, it's the best wrestling podcast on anything. I don't know.
It should be the best wrestling podcast, .. extended pause. Steven Larson's channel.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
So people get to thinking that we're going to make a claim like it's the best wrestling podcast, period.
Right, and then maybe they'd stop paying attention for like half a second. They don't notice that we said our channel.
Yeah, we can just kind of say it under our breath.
Exactly. So we're not legally obligated. Like, we're not under legal jurisdiction.
Well, I don't think there's anything legally keeping us from making that claim that we are, in fact, the best wrestling podcast in the universe.
We got Raw coming up in a little bit, so we're going to do a...
Sound like a modem.
Yeah, come on!
Oh, Raw cap.
There you go. So, yeah.
Not much happened on Raw last week.
No, not much happened. I think they were probably hampered by the fact that I like what they're doing with the whole Cena's nose, bro. I mean, they're doing what they can with it.
Yeah,
with the Cena's nose thing. Just, they have Rollins come out there and talk a bunch of shit.
Yeah, so I like okay. he has a custom T-shirt.
I know. I hear he's gonna roll a couple of those out.
Yeah. Apparently, one is rumored to say you can't knee me.
Yes, that's all right. That's what I heard too.
That's pretty good.
That's great. We both read WrestleZone.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
That's our dirt.
That's our inside source.
Exactly. So anyways, we're posing the question here. Oh, wait. Or is that later?
No, we can do this now.
Okay.
Yeah,
because like I said, nothing really happened.
No.
So coming up for SummerSlam, Rollins, Cena.
Belt for belt. Title for title.
For belt. Championship for championship. Mm-hmm. U.S. versus the world.
That's right.
Somebody's going to walk away with everything.
Or not.
I would think that the world heavyweight champion would like include... The U.S. territory.
Because the U.S. is part of the world.
That's crazy. Some people think maybe not, but...
Geographically.
Geographically speaking, that is science fact. 97% of scientists believe that. So right here, you did a lot of painstaking research, and you broke down
I didn't research any of this. I just sat for 5 minutes and thought, well, what are the possible scenarios that could happen?
All possible scenarios are outlined here in painstaking detail for Going In Raw. And we have scenario one.
Yeah.
Cena wins with or without some sort of cash in.
From Sheamus, yeah.
So this could be he either wins, Sheamus doesn't even try to cash in, or he wins. Which I could see this happening. Sheamus, not likely, but I wouldn't surprise me. Sheamus cashes in, and to prove how super ranked up he is, he destroys Sheamus as well.
Could be.
Could happen.
I don't... Well, here, let's we can go through all the different scenarios, and then we can discuss what we think the probability is of, if not each, what the probability of what's actually going to happen.
Okay, Cena wins. What can our prediction odds surpass 100? Probably not, huh?
No, I think
we need to break down exactly what the percentages of each.
Well, I mean, if we're gonna take these, was it seven different scenarios? I guess if we're going to break down the possibility of each, should we break them down possibility of each in relation to each other or just overall?
What is a double pin?
Oh, just like they pin each other at the same time, it's a double pin.
Okay.
Like they're both on their back and they both have their arm over each other.
Okay. Okay, well, let's...
So they both win, they both lose. Nothing really... It's a draw, essentially.
Okay, so we're looking at Cena wins with or without a cash-in, Rollins wins with or without a cash-in, a dusty finish, which is like a DQ or no contest, a double pin, which is also kind of a dusty finish.
Kind of.
And then a triple threat. Sheamus inserts himself.
It's sort of like what Rollins did at WrestleMania.
Right, right.
During the course of the match, he comes out and tries to cash in, as opposed to doing it after the match.
What if this? This is the scenario I could see. I could possibly see. The sad thing is, this goes against what I want to happen, which is your assertion that maybe they're going to have Sheamus cash in so that Reigns can take it off him.
Yeah, because no one likes Sheamus.
Exactly, because nobody likes Sheamus. And thereby, you'd get Reigns over if you really want to push Reigns. I'm hesitant to think. Here's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
I'm hesitant to think Rollins is going to get cleanly pinned again.
Yeah.
Because they just did that. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that again.
Well, he didn't get cleanly pinned. He tapped out.
Oh, he tapped out. Yeah, I know. But he lost cleanly.
Clean. Yeah, yeah.
I don't see Triple H having him lose cleanly again.
Agreed.
I could see... I was going to say, and now this doesn't sound that great, but I was going to say I could possibly see Rollins winning either by, you know, being strong, but maybe cheating a little bit, because I also don't see them having him pin Cena cleanly necessarily.
Yeah.
I could see Rollins winning somehow. That'd be kind of interesting. Rollins winning somehow. Sheamus cashes in, wins the belt, and then whenever Cena takes it away from Sheamus to get his 16th. Championship. No matter what, Cena's going to get the belt within soon, I think.
You think so? You think they're going to give him number 16 pretty soon?
I think they are. I think they kind of want to move on and they want to get that out of the way. That's my feeling.
Well, I mean, they bring it up every now and again, I think, but it's not a big fact that they're pushing every week, you know?
You think they would push that a lot more?
I think so, just because there's a lot of... It seems like there's a lot of people in line to get a world title opportunity.
Right.
And he doesn't need it. He's doing great work with the U.S. belt.
Yeah.
It seems largely unnecessary to give him the big strap.
Yeah.
When you have you know, Reigns, you have Rollins, you have even Lesnar, you have arguably Wyatt.
I don't think Lesnar's in the hunt anymore. I know, realistically, no. And I think,
but you always got to, you know, in terms of people who could have the belt, arguably deserve the belt, he has to be in that conversation.
I know. I'm just saying, I think they probably want to get that over with Cena.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have so many people waiting in line. And that's sort of an elephant in the room, I think.
The only way I could see them doing it within the next year is if they're going to have a Cena-Reigns title match at WrestleMania, the passing of the torch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then that's the only real conceivable logical way I can see them having Cena having the belt within the next year. Otherwise, I don't see it happening.
How like smart marks would just hate all over that. Like, what would they root for?
I don't know. They'd have to have it in the middle of the card, so people wouldn't leave WrestleMania
exactly
with a bad taste in their mouth.
Now, where does Sheamus factor into that though?
Into WrestleMania?
Into he because he has to have the belt sometime over the next year.
Not necessarily. He could try to cash in and lose. I still think, like, say Reigns.
I don't think they do. I don't think you're ever going to see that again.
If it's Reigns seen at WrestleMania, Reigns wins, goes over, gets the belt. How about have Sheamus run out right then and try to cash in and have Reigns beat him?
Yeah.
And the same thing still applies. No one likes Sheamus.
No, it's. See, I agree with you, and I would love that. However, I think they have invested too much into Sheamus, and I think they really like. I think the WWE really likes Sheamus. I think he's gonna have the stupid belt.
Then he better do it before WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't, man. I still feel like it's dumb putting that briefcase on him.
If it's not Cena Reigns for the title at WrestleMania, then I feel like it has to be a Shield triple threat match.
All right, bottom line, who do you see coming out of SummerSlam with the title?
It's going to be a scenario where both parties leave with the belts they came in with.
Really? I think
so. Yeah.
How would that even work?
It's going to be a DQ.
Dusty finish? No, yeah, they're not going to do a DQ at SummerSlam.
They're going to... Okay.
When's the last time they've had an outcome like that? Okay, Undertaker came back for Brock Lesnar. That's a big deal. I mean, that is a finish right there.
Yeah.
But they've been okay with giving us clean finishes lately. I think, haven't they?
More often than not.
I mean, even if it's a cheating clean finish, it's not a. This has been. You know, a DQ winner is this guy, but still champion. They haven't really done that. I don't think they're. I think something definitive is going to happen at SummerSlam.
It's going to be one of two finishes, I feel like. It's going to be kind of a DQ thing. I don't know if via interference or something else. Or Rollins will go over. Because from what I've read, that this Rollins-Cena program is going to continue for a while.
Yeah.
So I guess if pattern holds, Cena loses the first contest
and
wins
okay.
every subsequent match after that.
Okay. I'm more likely to go with that. I'm more like, because they seem to like doing that right now. Cena loses one, and then he
And then wipes
on.
The mat with his opponent for three or four straight matches.
All right. Well, I'll go with that. I'll say, what would that mean coming out of SummerSlam then?
Well, it'd either mean that nothing changes or Rollins has both belts. And if Rollins has both belts, is he gonna drop the U.S. title, or is he gonna continue the U.S.? It would be interesting if he could, as world champion, continue the U.S. Open champion.
That would be interesting. I think that's kind of a big money thing for them. Now, I say, you know what? I say Cena comes out of SummerSlam with both titles.
Okay,
that's what I say. What do you say? Definitively, what happens?
I told you what I thought was going to happen. I think it's going to be a push. I think this could be a DQ.
Really? SummerSlam, you think they're going to push?
I think the more likely scenario, rather than a DQ, I think the double pin.
I'm going to ask you. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. And at the end of the episode, after Kayfabe Corner, I'm going to ask you again what your definitive answer is.
That is my definitive answer. I'm not going to change by thinking about it for another half hour.
I think that's no way that's going to happen at SummerSlam.
Based on the information we have right now, I mean, granted, things could pop up during the next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
That could change my opinion, but right now, I don't see a big sea change like that with
All
one
right.
guy having both belts.
All right, well,
right now, without a huge buildup for it.
I see. I want to do our predictions now.
We got to wait till next week.
That's right. I guess so. All right. So, anyways, in other news, Roman Reigns was attacked. What is it? Did you watch the video of this? Roman Reigns got attacked by a fan.
I tried to, and it wouldn't load.
Okay. He looked really, really, really he was victimized. He was really stunned and shaken. Like, he was sort of in the corner, like, taking a breather. And from what I understand, somebody threw a fake money in the bank briefcase.
Yeah.
At his head, I guess. It would have to be his head, because he really looked like, he looked like he just got jumped.
Did he look like he got knocked out?
No, but he looked like he'd been violated. You know what I mean? He looked like he had been emotionally taken to task.
It's one thing to be booed. It's another thing to be attacked.
Bray Wyatt and somebody notices this. Yeah, Bray Wyatt was kind of a left character to make sure Reigns was okay, because he's sort of pacing around making sure, like, he's sort of watching, because there was a big hubbub in the crowd, like people like trying to take the guy down or whatever, and then a ref came down and started yelling and stuff. So it was kind of a big thing, and Reigns just looked like he was completely, it was weird. Yeah, like Reigns wasn't there at the ropes like yelling at the guy. He was like, oh, why did you do that? That's what it looked like. It was like kind of far away, but
like he was licking his wounds?
Kind of, yeah. So apparently all Sheamus really has to do
is throw the briefcase.
If Reigns gets the belt, is just throw the briefcase at him.
What I found interesting, I read this morning, again on WrestleZone, because that's our inside source for all wrestling information, was that the WWE allegedly has banned the perpetrator of this assault forever.
For all time. So would you do that? Have like a Scott Steiner-esque picture?
That's what I was going to say.
In every security outlet booth? He should test that. He should put on a, like, grow a beard or cut his hair. Like, that seems like it'd be easy to get around in, like, a year. Like, we go to an event, like, maybe once a year or so.
Yeah.
You know, if that. I think it'd be easy to sneak in to, like,
in,
you know?
I think so.
Like,
I mean, maybe they banned his credit card. I don't know. So he can't buy tickets.
Like, does he have no friends? You know? Like, hey, we're going to SmackDown. Can you get the tickets? Because I'm supposed to be banned. I'm like, that's fine. It's not a big deal. And then he put on a hat. You know?
Well, maybe since...
Put on some Roman Reigns merchandise so that nobody's going to suspect you.
But it was in Australia, so I think they only go there maybe once a year.
Oh, then okay, well...
So it might be easier to do that then.
Beaned.
Yeah.
Beaned. Yet another thing in Australia that's been beaned. and then, good news for NXT Brooklyn.
It sells out. It's sold out.
Done sold out.
13,000 people will be there, according to Triple H.
That's good. Man, I wish we were going to this. It's kind of cool.
I know.
I want them to do like a big thing. I want WrestleMania to be here again
But you want to just, you want to be in Sacramento, though.
I just want to do rest. Yeah, I kind of want to have it in Orangevale, to be honest with you.
Like, I don't know if there's a venue large enough.
The Louis Pasteur Middle School has a decent little half auditorium thing. What was that like? You remember the one at Cordova with all the big steps?
Yeah,
that's like that's not an auditorium. What is that? That's like a battle arena, like a death arena. What is that?
Well, I think it's you mean a coliseum?
Coliseum, yeah, it's like a coliseum. It's like a small coliseum. They could have it there.
It's like an amphitheater.
It's NXT. Nobody knows about it. All right, we're gonna do Q&A today.
Yeah.
Q&A.
Good. I was hoping you'd do that.
Yeah. you want to read the questions?
Sure. Mercury Artist. With the Cena-Owens feud ending, where do you see Owens next year taking him?
Well, he'll have a lengthy program with Cesaro.
Yeah.
With Cesaro. You know what? I hope they make him the guy that sort of he's sort of like a Bray Wyatt. I could see him being like a Bray Wyatt 2.0. Like, for some reason, he always comes off as like a major threat, even though he seemingly loses like a bunch of his shit.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said. I think it was last week, if not that, the week before, how Owens carries himself, especially when he has a belt, like it means something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'm hoping that after we get Owens Cesaro for maybe 2 or 3 months, and then it'd be really fun to see an Owens Ambrose program.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
And whether that involves the IC belt or whatever Owens does after that involves the IC belt, I think it would be top-notch stuff. So.
There's so many people. I even think, and you know, I'm not a Ryback fan,
mm-hmm.
but I could see an Owens-Ryback feud being kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not a lot. I'm trying to think of anybody that I wouldn't be entertained by watching Owens go up against. He's so, I don't know, there's something about him. We both really like him.
Yeah, Owens is great.
I agree, though, about the IC belt. I think it'd be fantastic to put that on him.
Yeah.
Next.
Alex Shez, we kind of covered this earlier. Since Cena Rollins is now going to be a thing, how soon do you think WWE pulls the trigger on breaking Ric Flair's record, if at all?
I think SummerSlam is it for me. That's my thing. SummerSlam.
Well, he would only, if Cena gets at SummerSlam, he'd tie Flair's record at 16.
Yeah.
So he'd need one more.
Then Sheamus cashes in, and then Cena beats him the next week.
No, that's not going to happen.
Next.
Avid of King's Landing. How do you feel about Paige yelling out spots so loud we can hear?
Apparently she's aware of it and she's trying to keep it down.
Oh, okay.
So you heard that apparently it was supposed to be Hogan on that Stone Cold podcast. Mm-hmm. That's why it ended up being Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Brother. somebody asked on our Facebook, because I'm doing like a little QA thing for my channel. Uh-huh. Somebody asked if we think Hogan's ever going to be... back again. What, like, how soon Hogan do you think is going to be back?
Oh, we talked about that.
We talked about this last week, right? What was what was our answer on that one? What do you think? You think Hogan's ever going to be back?
It was, if at all, a long time.
5 years?
5 to 10.
Wow. He's 62 already.
I know.
Man, all right. Moving on.
We didn't answer that question.
How do I feel about it? It's bad. It's not good. If she wants a Divas Revolution, she should work on fundamentals. Like, what the fuck? Stop yelling out spots.
But, you know, that's kind of her thing. She yells.
Yeah, she yells, but she shouldn't be yelling out her spots. Like, that's her character. Kayfabe, well, she needs to keep it down.
She's character through and through.
I guess so.
Brett Fart. Mm. Favorite underrated or overlooked rivalry, such as Triple H and Cena in the mid-aughts?
I can't think of a single Triple H rivalry besides, like, maybe The Rock. Like, he was always great. He was always a great heel.
Yeah.
But there was never, like, I never felt like there was... A Triple H, right? Like, you know, you think of Stone Cold and The Rock, you know?
Yeah.
You think of certain rivalries that were just like, you know, boss.
Yeah.
Freebirds versus the Von Erichs. favorite underrated Booker,
I'll say this,
Booker
I'll
T and Stone Cold.
I was gonna say that's
one of
good.
My favorites.
Yeah, that was great. I was
highly
gonna say Booker T and Benoit back in the WCW days when they had that best of seven series.
Oh man, that was great.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
But no one, you know, you didn't really hear much about that up for obvious reasons, because Benoit, you know.
Yeah, because he killed his family.
Yeah.
What a pile of crap that guy was.
Yeah, not a good human being. Not a good human being at all.
Continue.
Scorsythe. Who do you think was most deserving of a world title main event push but never got one? I think we've had this question, if not one similar to it before, and my go-to answer is Scott Hall.
Absolutely.
Especially Razor Ramon, the Razor Ramon character.
I agree. You see, this is my thing. You think if Ray, if he had stuck around, you think Razor Ramon would have gotten a title shot? Or like
I don't
a,
know.
Like
I don't know how. Here's the thing, you know, it's you always hear about how in the mid late 90s how the Click kind of ran things backstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know how much Scott Hall's substance abuse issues affected his pushes.
I think it was surprising. I think it was way more surprising that he never got the WCW title, the big WCW title. Because I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of Brett and Sean back then, and then Sid for some reason.
Well, before that, though, you know, it was Kevin Nash that had the belt for a while.
Right, exactly. Which was solely because he was 7 feet tall.
Oh yeah,
like the only reason.
Yeah,
is because he was 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he was
like,
tall.
They can try to change history as much as they want, and I love Nash, but. I don't believe he drew a fucking dime.
No.
Like, he was the champion at the worst freaking time for the company. They literally almost went under at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
here's another name, too, is Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, Kurt Hennig, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree with that. And then Piper never had the world title.
Yeah.
And that was weird. Ages ago when I was, like, really starting to get into wrestling, that always surprised me that Piper never had the WWE title at some point.
Yeah.
You know, won it off Hulk in a cheat way and then lost it 2 weeks later. Yeah, that surprised me that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd say those are all qualifying names.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, I am Blackman 27.
Did Piper have the WCW title?
No, I don't think so. I think the only belt he ever won in either WCW or WWF was the IC belt.
Yeah, I remember there was some sort of janky finish in WCW for the big gold belt with Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And then Hogan claims that Piper didn't get it, so maybe he was stripped. I forget, I don't know. We'll have to look it up later.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There was definitely nothing definitive.
Yeah.
It was probably one of those NWO deals, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. I am Blackman 27. What do you think will happen to Raw and stuff once Vince has either retired or is no longer around?
I think we'll probably see improvements, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff that Triple H has had his hands on has panned out really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that developmental in NXT is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that... I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of decisions that we've sort of heard were Vince's recently. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If Vince retired 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
do you think we would have seen the Undertaker streak broken? Because I think that has worked out.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I don't think that would have happened if Triple H had been in charge.
No, I don't think so either. It wasn't a Triple H in one documentary.
Yes.
Who said that streak should never
be broken. That streak should never be broken. And I believed him, you know, as a person then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there may be some... risks out there, some risky decisions that Vince has made relatively recently like that have probably played out, and that might be a bit of Vince's natural sort of old school promoter mind at work that still works. But I think overall he's still if he works as much as people say he does, he's probably burning out a little bit. Like maybe have him stick to big ideas, you know, Michael Cole what to say.
Repeatedly you hear that through various people that Vince has kind of lost touch with what his fan base wants these days.
Right, right.
And between that and his it seems like his kind of fickle attitude towards things sometimes, that he'll come up with an idea and come up with a plan about how to push a particular individual. And then about, you know, halfway through said plan, he'll just give up on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And direct that focus to somebody else.
Right.
He seems like he has a problem seeing things through to completion.
Yeah.
With a lot of his ideas, you know.
Cesaro is a big example of that recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole brass ring thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if NXT is any indication, things will be looking good.
It's funny. I saw a thing on WWE.com like a couple weeks ago when Cesaro started coming up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That said, why it was like an article that said why Cesaro is grabbing the brass ring and isn't going to let go this time. And it made me think that like Triple H knows that Vince probably isn't watching the website.
Yeah,
you know, because that just after he made that comment and people were kind of like, well, fuck you, you know, like
yeah.
plenty of people have gotten the brass ring and then you just bury them.
Yeah.
And you think that, yeah, hey, the old man doesn't read websites. He doesn't know how to do internet. So yeah. Let's just go ahead and run that article. Triple H is being subversive online. Anyways, move on.
Kaufman.
Mm. My son.
How did you guys get into professional wrestling? What introduced you? Yeah, that's the question.
Honestly, it was hanging out, like, once I started hanging out with you guys, with the crew that we run with now, like, when I entered into the group, they were watching wrestling. And so, like, I started watching wrestling, and I dug it. Like, if I didn't dig it, I probably would have been like, yeah, I don't know about this. I'll make new friends. But, like, I liked it. I was like, this is cool. NWO is pretty cool. Like, this attitude era where you can literally see Terry Runnels' vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They showed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was fine with that. I was like, that's good. So that got me into wrestling.
I don't remember if it was watching WrestleMania 1 on video or just coming upon it on USA Network when I was a kid. I don't know which happened first.
Yeah.
But they both... definitely one fed into the other.
Yeah.
I think I came upon it on TV once when I was, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years old. So I'd been in the mid-80s. Used to just watch it every Saturday. And then the video store in our town we lived in then had WrestleMania 1 on VHS. Seems like pretty soon after it happened.
Right.
So I used to rent that all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It's like it was 3 times a year I probably would watch that.
God. And in the mid-90s, the freaking WCW title belt was vacated so many times.
I know.
Piper never had it, though.
Yeah, I do think so. So that's what got me into it. I watched it pretty religiously for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
And then kind of like early 90s, I got out of it a little bit and then got back into it with the NWO and the Attitude Era. Watched it for a few years and then kind of got out of it for a little bit. And then 4 or 5 years ago, got back into it. It brings us to today.
Yay!
So, Dustin Schnau. I can't remember. He told us how it was pronounced, but then I forgot. Where do Axel and Sandow go now that they basically lost their gimmicks?
Anywhere is better than they were headed.
Yeah.
Like, that was... there was one shining light amidst the Hogan controversy. It was the fact that these guys didn't have to do their stupid fucking... gimmicks anymore.
I know. So see, like Axelmania was. I didn't mind it when he was still Curtis Axel.
Yeah, I know.
And he would just kind of do, kind of ape, you know, the Hulkamania stuff a little bit.
Yeah, it was too much once.
But then when they did a full on impression, it was dumb.
I know. It was just bad, and it was comedy, and you can't go to that level of comedy. I hope that they. I think for them. The primetime players are a good template if they want to run as a tag team. You can be serious and have comedic elements. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can be a serious threat and have comedic elements. I mean, granted, there's a lot of comedy in the primetime players, and we love that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get in the ring, like you look at Titus, and he's literally throwing people around.
Mm-hmm.
Axel and Sandor are both good wrestlers, and they have good chemistry. Mm-hmm. They're charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Run with that as opposed to sticking them with something ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, I was pretty hopeful after the Mizdow stuff that they would actually find something for Sandow to do.
Oh, man, I know.
They had such an opportunity to take that to another level.
Yeah.
But instead, it was just like he was before, kind of a revolving door, although he kind of stuck on the Macho Man Dow thing of impressions.
Yeah. So hopefully they go up. I like, and it's funny because once the Axelmania thing started happening, you see the charisma that Curtis Axel had that they never really got across.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just stick with that, I guess. Hopefully, yeah. But who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know either. David Rogers with, was it Jushin?
Yeah, Jushin.
With Jushin Liger announced as Tyler Breeze's opponent for NXT TakeOver, what other big names could you see or would you like to see come to NXT?
I kind of like how seemingly random they're being with like who they're bringing in.
Yeah.
Like Samoa Joe is pretty random, but he seemed to fit at the time. I don't really know. Like he's not really making an impact right now, I don't think.
No. He's fighting Rhino at TakeOver.
Yeah.
So this is probably his first, match of any consequence.
Yeah.
He's coming over.
I don't know. I like the unpredictable nature of it. I'll put it that way. So
yeah.
Making it interesting, I like.
Here's one person. I doubt it'll ever happen.
Mm.
Shane Douglas.
Oh, that'd be great. And they're already using his colors.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That'd be fantastic. I think he's pretty old these days.
I know. Pretty much all the people I can think of are ECW guys.
Yeah, I know. But I don't want them just to go to that well. Because I was going to say, if I was going to say anything, it would be Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, I thought about that
too. Love Tommy Dreamer. Yeah. So that'd be great. But I don't really want them to keep going back to that well. I want them to, like, do interesting shit, you know? It's like,
agreed.
There's plenty of people out there on the indie circuit. So I think there's a lot of talent to choose from that people sort of kind of know about. Mm-hmm. Like I would love the Briscoe brothers to come over, but they would be obviously pretty watered down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe not. You know, like Kevin Owens, you know, he had some moves that he had to modify for NXT and WWE,
mm-hmm.
and that worked. So mm-hmm. if they could modify what they do and, you know, just stop dropping F-bombs, then I think, you know, seeing the Briscoe brothers against Enzo Amore and Big Cass, that'd be fantastic, you know? So there you go.
Well, hopefully Enzo and Big Cass will be
they
on
need
their
to
way
be
to
Maine soon.
I know,
they,
Carmella.
I'm almost positive that's why they didn't win the
win
the belts, because they need to get up there. Oh, God, I fucking love them. Did you know those guys knew each other in high school?
No.
Yeah, they were buddies in high school, and then you know, split ways, and then came back in NXT separately, but they had known each other, and then they stuck them together because they already knew each other and had really
good
chemistry.
Awesome.
I know, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Oh, I love those guys.
AC1711. Who needs the win at SummerSlam more, Kevin Owens or Cesaro? This is a tough question.
It's a very tough question. I would argue Cesaro, because Owens has been higher profile, and I think a loss hurts Owens. I think Owens could rebound a lot quicker.
This is why we need a best out of seven series with these
guys. Yeah, oh my God, that'd be great. Yeah, I agree.
It's just too bad there's nothing on the line, you know?
Yeah, but this is that kind of feud that they do need to establish something. But I think we can all just sort of appreciate that we're getting it, you know?
Here's what they need to establish, and this is an unofficial title.
Yeah.
Not belt title, but just title.
Yeah.
Literally the best wrestler in the world. I know it's kind of the CM Punk thing.
No,
but
no.
Cesaro says, good. I've come out, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Owen comes out, no, I'm the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
Fight for it.
No, I agree. I think that's great. See, just anything like that. Like, that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Short fuck 18.
Mm.
Does Kane come back as corporate Kane or demon Kang? Kane, sorry. Kang. Isn't that a character from something else?
Kang? Kang the Merciless. Kang the... I think.
No, you're thinking of Ming the Merciless. I think Kang is from...
Kang is from Marvel. I think he was a time-traveling guy.
Oh, I thought there was a Kang in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Isn't Kang the bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Yeah.
That's Shredder.
Kang. Yeah, no. I'm talking the little guy with the brain.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I'm gonna Google Kang and just see images. Kang the Conqueror. Yeah, he's a Marvel guy. He was a Klingon.
Oh.
And there's also showing us pictures of the aliens from The Simpsons. So maybe them, one of their names was Kang.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
There you go. Wait. We didn't answer that question, did we? Oh, Demon Kane or Corporate Kane? Or as Kang?
as Kang. I like as Kang.
Yeah, me too.
I think he comes back as the demon. Because, I mean, they're not really doing, like, they're sort of dropping the authority thing a little bit. Like, in terms of, like, the J&J and Kang thing. They're sort of dropping that, so I could see.
Yeah, and they're really kind of towing the line whether the authority is really a heel faction or, I guess, a face faction. Because Stephanie coming out for the Divas Revolution, that was a face move because the Bellas, I guess, are heels.
Right.
And, you know, Triple H, sometimes he's an obvious heel and sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
I know they said, you know, the ideas of faces and heels are kind of passe, but it's just kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to know who you're supposed to boo and who you're supposed to cheer.
Exactly.
Granted, we always generally do the opposite. We generally cheer the people we're supposed to boo because we find them more interesting.
Yeah, of course.
But anyways, Stefan Fenris. Why do you think it's so hard to let go of the Attitude Era?
Because it was the most interesting time. It was very controversial. A lot of people came up. Ratings were huge. You look at the roster, it was the most talented roster I think we've ever seen in professional wrestling.
Definitely at the top.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's all why. And, like, what happened afterwards, like, we did, you know, they didn't continue the momentum necessarily. I think we're getting, I think we're in a really nice spot now. Mm-hmm. But there was so much energy. There was so much energy and passion during the Attitude Era. They were scrapping to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why.
It was incredibly unpredictable. You never knew what was going to happen from show to show.
Right.
And I think a lot of people also kind of have that ideal idea of the Attitude Era in their mind, and they forgot all the duds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the stupid storylines and shit that never went anywhere. I mean, overall, the Attitude Era was fantastic television.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that there wasn't some crap ideas floating around in there, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was plenty.
So people tend to disregard that stuff and just think about Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H and Foley and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There was some bad with the good.
Absolutely.
All right, last question. Born to Run 19. Hey, friendos. Hello. Vince McMahon has tasked the two of you with creating the perfect wrestler, or at least your idea of the perfect wrestler.
Mm.
What attributes from various wrestlers, past and present, would you give your wrestler, and what would his finishing move be?
Let's see here.
Brock Lesnar's body.
Yes.
Whose mouth? Macho Man?
That'd be weird.
Dusty? No. I mean, ability, not literally their mouth.
Yeah,
their ability
to talk.
No,
their ability to talk. I've always been a fan of the CM Punk version, the CM Punk way of talking, because it was so earnest and it was so almost angry, like in the later days, you know?
Yeah.
Like he would just start going off on people and you didn't know what he was going to say. I've always been a big fan of that, especially these days, you know?
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Okay. So we got Lesnar's body, Punk's mic skills.
Yeah.
Whose moveset?
Beef jerky, maybe?
No, that's not a real wrestler.
Oh, right. Whose moveset? Whose moveset? I hate saying this, but Chris Benoit.
Oh, dear.
He was vicious in the ring.
No, he was.
I loved him in the ring.
I was thinking of Shelton Benjamin. He had a really good moveset.
Yeah, he was good. I don't remember ever being like, oh, like, he needed a better finisher. I want a good finisher.
Well, we're getting
finisher.
To that. This is just moveset. We'll get to finisher last.
All right. Shelton or Eddie Guerrero?
Okay. Finishing move.
Let's say Eddie Guerrero because he was better than Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
Who's finishing move? It would have to be either the, in my opinion, I would say this, either the curb stomp or the jackknife powerbomb.
It has to be the jackknife powerbomb.
Jackknife powerbomb. There you
it's
go.
The most devastating finishing move.
It really is.
Ever.
Absolutely.
All right, there's our perfect wrestler. Oh, who's, what ring attire? Whose ring attire should this person have?
Whose ring attire? Well, I mean, Brock's Jimmy John shorts are pretty cool.
Yeah, you can't really argue with that.
I want Stone Cold, straight up black wrestling tights.
With Jimmy John's logo on the butt.
Yes, there you go. See? Can't compromise.
So pretty much what Brock used to wear combined with what he wears now.
Correct.
Okay. All right, that's the end of questions.
No more questions.
Are you ready for Kayfabe Corner? Are you ready to wrestle the champ?
Are you ready to wrestle the champ? If anybody can tell me where the phrase, specifically where we get the phrase, are you ready to wrestle the champ? If you can tell us where we got that from, we'll send you out a care package.
Sure.
Like one of my t-shirts.
There you go.
If you guys want that, unwashed. I've got a pen and I've got a piece of paper. I'm ready for a Kayfabe Corner.
All right. 12 names, 6 real, 6
oh,
fake.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There's a theme.
Oh,
there's a bonus question.
Oh,
and there's,
no.
The bonus question might be worth 2 points.
I don't feel good about this today.
Okay.
My confidence is low.
This is a good list. I feel good about this one because I spent a lot of time researching it.
Very well.
Number one.
Try.
Sexton Hardcastle.
Real.
Yes. Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Mean Johnny James.
Mean Johnny James. Mean Johnny James. I'm going to say real.
Fake.
Oh, bummer.
Number three, Jix. G-I-X-X.
G-I-X-X. I'll say real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number four,
yeah.
Death Mask.
That's real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number five, Gus Griffin.
Ooh, that's fake.
Nope,
oh,
real.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Number six, Steed Strong.
What's the first name?
Steed.
Like a horse?
Yeah.
Okay, Steed Strong. I'm going to say that was a real name that you altered to make it fake.
It's fake.
Okay.
I mean, have you gotten four?
Four so far.
Okay. Number seven.
I'm doing better than I thought I was going to do.
Yeah. The Cockroach.
That's had to be a real name of somebody. That's real.
Fake.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got to be like an...
Number eight.
Go ahead.
The Great Mortimer.
The Great Mortimer. Nobody's going to be called great if they're a Mortimer. It's fake.
Real.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Mega Machine Mark.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Galactic Gladiator.
Real.
Fake.
Fuck.
The Spoiler.
Fake.
Real.
Fuck.
Last one. Jack Four.
How do you spell four?
F-O-R-E.
Fake.
Yeah. How many did you
one,
get?
One, two, three, four, five. So I got six.
Six?
Yeah.
Do you know what the theme is?
Hold on a second. Let me think. Death Mask.
To get the theme, you need to know at least a couple, you know, who these people were. I can give you a hint for some of the real ones.
Give me a hint.
All right. Sexton Hardcastle was later known as Edge.
Okay. All right. All right.
Jix was a name that Seth Rollins used to use.
The really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The Great Mortimer was an alias of Harley Race.
Okay, we'll stop there. That's enough hints for me. What is the theme?
What do all three of those people have in common?
Harley Race. What does fucking Harley Race have in common? I'm just going to go on a limb here. Is the theme Roddy Piper?
No. Okay. The theme is all these people, these are all names used by former, or in the case of Rollins, current world champions.
Oh, okay. Oh, who's Death Mask?
That was JBL.
Oh, okay. That makes, okay, interesting. Well, go through some of the other ones.
Gus Griffin was Rick Martel.
He was an NWA world champ?
He was an AWA world champion.
AWA, okay.
And
that's
then
right.
Don Jardine was the spoiler. He was a champion somewhere.
Don Jardine.
But like Jack Four, I was like, oh, Johnny Polo. Raven.
Oh, yeah, Raven.
Galactic Gladiator was some riff on a former name of Kerry Von Erich.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Slaughter was, I think, something machine mark.
Okay. All right.
The Cockroach, Savage, Randy Savage, used to be called the Spider.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Good.
And Steed Strong was some riff on an early name of Vader.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's good. I like that. That's a good one. So is there a bonus question?
Yeah, there is. And it could be worth up to 2 points, depending. Ooh. If... Well, here, I'll ask it. All right. Of the people who have held the WWF title five or more times...
Ooh.
Who has the shortest average reign?
Who has the shortest?
And if you can name that person, I will give you an opportunity to tell me within, let's say 5 days. That sounds like a fair plus or minus the average length of their reign. So first I need a name.
Okay.
And then what you think the average length of their reign was.
Jeez, who held it more than five times? Cena, Hogan... yeah, are these world champ or you said WWE or WWF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is WWF.
Okay. It's got to be. I'm going to say. Oh! Did he hold it that many times? He didn't. I'm going to say Austin.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
It is The Rock.
Damn it. Oh, okay. Okay, so the five, though, have to be Rock, Cena, Hogan, Triple H, and Austin? Did Austin hold it five times?
I think so. Maybe not. I'll have to double check.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He did. But it was... just take a guess on the average length of his reign. The Rock's.
That's surprising that it's short. Mm-hmm. It's relatively short. But then he... Yeah, he... I mean, he went back and forth a lot. I'll say, so this is going to be ridiculous, but I'll say 31 days.
46.8 days.
Wow.
He held the belt eight times for a combined 367 days.
What? 367? Oh, that's right. He only held it from Royal Rumble until WrestleMania.
And then when he and Foley had their program, I think they went back and forth a couple
times. Yeah, that's right. Huh. Interesting. The Rock. Dang it.
There you go.
I was going to say The Rock was on my mind, and then I mistakenly thought that his year-long thing with Cena included him as a world champion for a year, and I thought that would have thrown it out. Okay. Damn it. All right, that's fine. But then I thought of Austin. I was like, you know, Austin got it and then lost it. Like, that first reign, it was really quick, and then he got it back again, like, the next night from, like, Kane or something. So... That was good. That was a really good one. I like that. And I got six, so I'm not that wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
All right. All right.
It says somewhere in the notes, ask again. What are you talking about? You asking about the Rollins Cena thing?
Okay. You've had some time to think about it. Rollins Cena, do you really think they're gonna do a dusty finish at SummerSlam?
I think it's possible. I think if they're gonna have this program extend for months.
No way, man.
Yes.
It's going to be... I want all our listeners to let us know in the comments. Do you think there's going to be a dusty finish at SummerSlam?
And Grant, this is based on the information that I have available to me now. It could change tonight
no
based
caveats.
On whatever they do. Yeah. No,
no
there's
caveats.
A caveat.
They're not going to
shit caveat.
Tonight. Is this next week? Is this week the go-home show?
No, next week.
Okay.
But next week we do our predictions.
That's right. All right. Well, that's our episode of Going In Raw.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.